DJ, drop a beat.
Not another podcast.
Not another podcast.
Not another podcast.
What the hell is wrong with you people?
Not another podcast.
All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
James.
I am sick and tired of everyone telling me I'm confused.
Bryce.
We're reckless, arrogant, stupid dicks.
Big Jim.
Wubble up a dub dub. That's my catchphrase, remember?
Samantha.
I have one job on this lousy ship. It's stupid, but I'm gonna do it, okay?
Dan.
I don't know who you are, but I have a very particular lack of skills. I will never be able to find you.
Not another podcast.
Do it again. I swear. Do it again.
What's going on? Do I need to separate you two?
No, Danger's in trouble. Just being a shit heel, apparently.
He's in a mood today, and it's pissing me off.
Ooh. The
He's
parenting
been like
life
that since like 3:30 this morning, just fucking whining.
What a bastard.
Well, it doesn't help that every time he whines, Bree gives him attention.
Ah, so she's feeding the troll.
Yeah, so gotcha. It's like, you're a cat. Be independent like a cat.
Yeah, fuck off.
Well, see, James shows attention, like, you know, hurling obscenities, that's attention.
Yeah.
Hurling small figurines, also attention.
I mean, hey.
Now, wait a minute.
I do not hurl the action figures.
That's fair. Because, honestly, I mean, that's all the only attention I get from James on most days is hurling obscenities.
Shut the fuck up.
See? See what I have to work with here?
I will spray you too.
I could go for a shower, I guess.
You know, there's going to come a time when you two just fuck it out, and it's going to be so much better.
Who says
so
we haven't
hot?
Already?
Camping was fun.
Into every boy's life comes a summer of 73.
Damn right.
Well, fuck it. Why not? We're recording. Hi, everybody!
Hi!
And that's how I'm starting the show.
Yep.
Slam
fuck
it into gear there. Jesus. A little lube or like a
nothing.
Stretch?
No,
time?
Fuck no.
Nothing. A little grind into that pop, but damn it, got slammed in there.
We are nice going to hate fuck this podcast.
Little, you know, synchro shifting love out of that. Mm-hmm. Just, into gear. Here we go. You're welcome.
At least with like prison porn, they're like, okay, and action. This was just like, fucking.
No, this is like, get warmed up and start fucking, then we'll roll the cameras when we think it got good and hot.
Look, if you're looking for soft kisses and you know, shit
delicate
like that, tussle. You're on the wrong podcast.
In fairness, you're on the
take
wrong podcast.
Take your clothes off,
out of principle.
Bend over, and take it like a man.
Yeah.
So this show is just starting off like, it doesn't even take a turn, it's like mid-turn.
Mm-hmm.
We're just turning.
Yeah, we didn't turn a signal
on
or nothing.
This show started off the cliff already. Like, the bus has already gone over the rails.
Previously on Not Another Podcast.
Sandwiches.
Delicious.
Right about that time, them sandwich boys in a heap of trouble.
Hope them sandwich boys learn how to fly. So, as you can probably tell, I'm kind of irritated.
You don't say.
Yeah, kind of.
I mean, honestly, I wasn't picking that up at all.
So here's what happened. Here's where all this anger came from. I spent most of the weekend watching some really interesting and just really educational documentaries on World War II.
Okay.
Oh, I was going to say, was it Tiger King? But okay.
No.
Yeah, I'm not watching.
Apparently,
that.
James is now an old man.
Hey, watching documentaries on World War II is actually kind of enjoying.
No,
you find the right ones. The wrong ones are sucky.
And there's a lot of wrong ones, but there's a lot of really interesting ones. And the ones I watched basically took, like, old footage.
The ones where Germany won?
That's really old
I didn't
time.
Watch the Iron Sky series, okay? So.
Oh, so good.
That is a great documentary. Ken Burns' finest work.
It really is. It really is.
Really captured the feeling there.
No, basically, I watched a series on Netflix, a couple of them, but the one that I watched a couple of times actually because Bree came home and caught mid documentary and wanted to watch the whole thing, so I watched.
Is documentary a euphemism for something?
Could be, but not in this
case.
Yeah,
that's why he just jams it right in.
Mm-hmm. Just fucking rams it home, buddy.
Like, what were you doing, like, where she had to catch you? Like, you're watching a documentary.
All
like,
that you should really care about is she wanted to join in, dude.
He was watching a documentary and then got caught in Sasquatch pose.
Were you making your privates a private?
Hey, only one of us on this podcast can do Sasquatch pose, and it is not me.
That's fair. That is a fair assessment.
Were you trying to make your dick into like a soldier, like a little helmet, draw little googly eyes on him or something?
I'm not Bryce.
That could be next month's coloring sheet.
Nice. Penile soldiers.
So, watching this documentary and I picked up a couple of things that I'd seen before about Nazi Germany and that sort of thing, but I think it really kind of hit home because of the current political and world situation we're in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that is essential. And it's something that I've noticed this whole – done throughout this whole administration. Done poorly, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And that is essentially using fear as a tool for political gain.
Oh, yeah.
I know it's been done before.
Oh, fuck, dude.
That's kind of the game.
The Germans were at least efficient.
They were. So here's what I picked up. The Germans and Hitler especially, but not only Hitler, but those he surrounded himself like Goebbels and Himmler. And,
oh, yeah.
Himmler. Himmler. Sorry, Himmel.
Late night with Jimmy Himmel.
That late night Bulgarian talk show host?
These guys essentially got Germany lathered up into a frenzy by...
They stoked pride first, though. They really wanted to build up that nationalist pride by saying, we're stronger than this, we can be better.
No. That's not
make
what happened.
Make Germany great again.
They did do... Oh, my God. That was actually a line in the documentary I saw.
No, you don't fucking
and
say.
It fucking just,
that's
like,
terrifying.
Sent a shiver up my spine.
I'm disappointed in a lot of people because, honestly, the History Channel's been playing that shit for decades now. And when that happened, I just...
I had to
dork stamp myself. It's like, guys... Come the fuck on.
Here's what's really funny about what you just said. A lot of the people lived through that or were born close enough after to have all of that be, you know, like near and dear to their hearts, and yet they still voted for the guy who represented Hitler the most.
Yeah.
Is that fucking frightening or not?
It's disappointing. We learn nothing from our mistakes in this day and age.
No, we are...
It repeats itself if you let it.
Yep.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. I feel like no matter what, we're doomed to repeat our mistakes. In different forms.
Yeah,
but essentially it's the same fucking mistake.
This is pretty blatant for what it is. And unfortunately, that's why I've stopped... actively paying attention to every bit of verbal diarrhea that comes out of that fucking Cheeto's face. Because, again, at this rate, I've already seen so many parallels over the last 4 fucking years that just make me sick. Well, and every time I tell somebody about it, though, either they're a supporter or they're on my side, which unfortunately gets us nowhere conversationally, so I just decided what the hell's the point.
Here's the problem I have with...
You get each other more and more pissed off.
Right? That's the thing. It gets you worked up in a frenzy because it's like, how can you be so stupid?
As much as I would love to join with you and ignore everything, I think it's dangerous to ignore everything he says.
It is, yeah.
I would disagree in the respects that, at this rate, what... purpose does it actually serve for somebody, and let's face it, at my level of the world, people I know, people I talk to, people I converse with, they know where I stand on this fucking jumping chimpanzee that's in the White House. There isn't a single person who's on the fence and they're like, I don't know if Danny supports Trump or is against him. There is no question of that.
Okay.
So the question then becomes, the people who actively want to talk about it to me... and are willing to not just be the loudest voice, but actually have a human interaction with me, those are the ones I will talk to about it, and I will learn up on things that he has said to help my conversation with them. But other than that, there's no fucking point. It's like arguing on Facebook. It's like...
Well, yeah, and I would say also, you can have all the things that he said, and A, his followers will not fucking either acknowledge that he said it, or if they do acknowledge that it was a severe or that he meant what yada 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 horseshit. When he himself, when Trump himself gets questioned about shit, he says like, ah, I don't remember that. Like, he's so fucking full of horseshit that, you know, he doesn't even, like, when the woman asked him about, like, you said, when you got rid of the pandemic crew.
Oh, yeah.
That didn't happen.
He's just like, that's a very nasty question. It's like, fuck you, bitch. It's holding you accountable. It's saying, like, do you think it was a bad fucking idea now? Yeah, kind of.
Okay, so here's where I'm going to sort of counter all the arguments. Danny, you especially have a gift for not debate, but talking to people and getting them to think.
Well, that's my purpose.
And it's why someone like you should not be ignoring things Trump says. And the reason is, like I said, you have this gift that when you have the information, you can argue and debate without being combative.
How do you hear him without being enraged?
I know that's
the
hard.
Kicker,
but
yeah.
here's why it's important that people like us, especially people like Danny, people who have that gift to make people look at another point of view.
Oh, why?
Whether they want to or not. I've done it with you a bunch. I've been pretty hardcore in whatever belief I have, and you've managed to make me look at it from a different point of view.
Right.
And that's why I think that someone like you needs to know what he's saying. So when someone does come up and say, oh, Trump for, you know, 2020, blah, 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 whatever, you can go, yeah, that's great, but what about this?
Well, the nicest thing
And then
thing
when
about
they pull
it.
Up the thing that he said, you can go, no, you're misquoting,
right.
Or you misheard, or yes, he said that, but let's look at what that means.
But you also got to understand
the whole context.
Yeah.
Here's the beauty part about how I operate. Aside from the fact that we've had 3 years of arsenals of things for me to use to counterpoint people who are still pro-Trump, I mean, the library is already full of past offenses that this man has made. What he says yesterday is not that important. And on top of that, when I talk to that person who's pro-Trump, and they're like, well, what about when he said this, and they speak this verbal diarrhea, my brain has a 50-50 chance that they misquoted it or they're remembering it verbatim because they don't want to be called a liar. So at that rate, I'm hearing what Trump said, or I'm hearing what they thought they heard him say. If it's just as terrible as I think he would spit forth, I can use that, jump back into my library, and go, yeah, that sounds exactly like what he said at the that's totally different than what he says now. That's the nicest part about being able to actually read people and help them understand a conversation. You don't have to have the cold line verbatim. You need to let them do most of the talking and then talk to them about what they just said.
Well, and that brings me to what Jim said about the things that he says and then turns around and denies it.
Exactly.
In this day and age, we can pull up video.
Oh, yeah.
So when someone does misquote...
Again, you're fake news.
Yeah, but no, you. Okay,
but one of the things I've come to understand about that, though, is that's a double-edged sword. Because one of the things that people will always despise above anything else is being wrong.
Oh, absolutely.
If you get into a conversation with somebody about Trump or about his policies or about the other people in Washington doing the shiesty shit they're doing, to isolate one thing because you don't agree with that one particular line and show them that they have it wrong or show them how many times he's, you know, contradicted himself and show them all this evidence to really push the point home. All you do is they clam the fuck up. They give you a big middle finger and they go, I don't care what you have to say anymore.
But again, this is the beauty of you, and this is something we should all learn to do when having these discussions. And I want to say this, I need to make this clear. These need to be discussions, not arguments. If they start getting into arguments,
that's it.
You need to back off.
Exactly. And that's what I mean, though. When you point your finger at a piece of evidence and go, see, you're wrong, that's when it ends up being an argument, not a discussion.
That's the key. That is the key right there. You cannot, if you're going to try and make someone see another point of view, you cannot show them that they're wrong.
Exactly. You have to show them
and let them have the epiphany for themselves.
Exactly.
Or you show them that they've been misled. Not that they're wrong. Mm-hmm. They've been misled. And this is beauty. And I forget where I saw this, but I saw this recently. I think I read this article or something, but most of his supporters, get their stories from Fox News.
As per his custom.
Here's something I didn't realize because I don't watch Fox News.
Not a news station.
No, it's not. No. It's a political agenda. But here's the beauty.
It's entertainment news. Station. That's a whole other discussion.
Here is the genius of Rupert Murdoch and Fox News. They will take a press conference. And they will pull a small segment and show their viewers. CNN and other legitimate news outlets
will show
you the whole thing. Mm-hmm. So what you need to do, especially if you're going to show someone video, show them the video that they're quoting.
Oh, yeah.
Or the moment they're quoting from Fox News. Mm-hmm. And then show them the full context.
Right.
And just say, look, this isn't on you.
But also,
you're being led by someone who does not have your best interest. They want your money.
Oh, absolutely.
They want your viewership.
Not even Fox News anymore. Because even Fox News has realized, like, look, we can't. The shit that's coming out is so goddamn absurd. It's this other station now. I was watching last week Tonight with
OAN.
John. OAN.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he loves OAN.
He's nuts.
And he's like, he always calls on them because it's like the shittiest softball sucking your dick while I'm asking you questions.
John Oliver did a whole segment on it. It was great.
So
people think that you're fucking awesome. Would you agree with that? Or what are your feelings on?
That's exactly it. Yeah. It's disgusting.
Well, and the sucky part about it, too, is it's like whenever you have a situation where you're discussing opposing views between two people, particular people who are like in your family who you have to, you know, eventually spend more time with, whether you like it or not. Hopefully not. But
unless you're mine and they don't talk to you anymore because they disagree with your.
And that's where I'm getting to, though. The other side of it, though, is when you're talking to a friend or a coworker or something like that, that's a little bit different in and of itself. But here's the beauty thing. Even showing them the unadulterated complete speech is a validation of incorrect knowledge that they have, which, again, is why I will never do that to anybody, because all it does is it clamps up real hard and it becomes an argument, not a debate. It comes, you know, a disagreement at the highest form, not a good conversation at its best levels. Because, again, what I'm trying to do when I have a difference of opinion with somebody is I'm trying to say, okay, what is your opinion? They'll tell me. And then I go, okay, see where you're coming from. This is how I feel about it, and this is why I feel this way about it, and here are the things that I have to back up why I feel this way. And then I ask them the same question. Now, why is it you feel this way? What is it about this opinion that makes you feel so strongly that it makes you mad about this thing or happy about this thing? Because honestly, it's self-analytics at its finest. But if you can get somebody comfortable enough to self-analyze for you to validate their opinion, now you've opened them up to suggestion. You've allowed them to relax enough to be confident that what you're saying and what they're saying is not only valid but important to this discussion. And then you can start saying, okay, I see where I have some issues with your logic, and here's why. And you break it down at the smallest level, and you build on it. When you just tell somebody, well, you're a fucking jacktard for being a jacktard because, well,
you're never going to change opinions, exactly. And you're never going to.
And but if you work that trail, though, if you're willing to put in that legwork to help somebody,
the senator must yield so the senator from Pennsylvania can speak.
Oh, fuck Pennsylvania. Nobody even likes it there. Not even the senator.
So being part fucktard, I take offense to the previous statements.
You're out of order, sir.
Jim, you're not a fucktard.
They were inflammatory, that they were derogatory, that they were pointed specifically at specific members of this council. And I will not stand for it. I am currently sitting, but if I were standing, I would not stand for it.
You would sit down for this national anthem, buddy?
So you will take my standing offer to not stand for this while I sit.
I yield the floor, sir. That. I yield the floor.
God damn it. Well, I mean, what you just sort of laid out there is quite brilliant in its analytical and, you know, just showing the science of communication, essentially, and how most people interact. It's difficult to find people that are willing to relinquish that sense of whatever it is that I've clung to has to be right. It has to be right. Regardless of how ridiculous the ride gets, it has to be the right ride. It has to be the right belief, because the cataclysmic idea of me being wrong or incorrect is earth shattering. Mm-hmm. And so, like Danny says, you can't approach it from any outside means. It has to be a seed that is planted that grows from within. And then, you know, when they're ripe, then you get their head shaved and you make them join the compound and start digging holes and
sacrifice the chicken out back.
Jim, we've talked about giving away our plans for world domination. You need to tamp that shit down.
Up.
I'm going to say, fuck your plan. This has been my plan, will be my plan, continues to be the plan that I'm sticking with. And when the time comes and I hear that rat-a-tap-tap on the door, when, it's raining mighty hard outside, and here comes James, like, hey, Jim, remember all the fun times we did the podcast together? Yeah. You know, I was just joking about that whole compound thing, and I'll be like, Centurions, dispatch with him.
At which point I'll snap my fingers, and Bryce, who's 100 yards away watching the whole thing through a scope.
In a hot air balloon, in a high wind situation, and still has a deadbeat on his shit.
And if Bryce doesn't get him, Bree will.
Sick him.
Well, I mean, by that point, my bloated regime will have become so woefully corrupt as well that my death will bring about a prosperity and a new time. So for that, you're welcome.
I thought you were playing that angle,
not,
you know.
Jim, that's not going to happen until your skin turns orange. I'm sorry, buddy.
Hey, you know, can't make an omelet. Can't make a fucking omelet.
Here's Cheeto pie.
Here's something that... again, the documentaries I watched really kind of made me think about this. Emotion plays so heavily into these debates. Because like Danny said, people cling to that desire. And Jim, I'm sorry, you said this as well. People cling to that desire to be right. They have to be right.
Yep.
That's when you start having the debate or the discussion... People get really fired, and I'm guilty of this too. People will get really fired up over their point of view and stop thinking analytically or logically.
It becomes passion.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's what I try to avoid at all cost when I talk to people about sensitive things.
And I believe that you should be passionate about things you believe in.
Oh, be passionate.
I fully believe that. I'm not saying – but when you are coming at someone – at the very least, to understand their point of view.
Exactly.
You have to get them, and you said this essentially, but you have to get them into a place where emotion is not part of it.
It's just
where they are thinking and telling you why they feel this way from an analytical point of view.
Yep. And then you get the truth out of it too.
Well, and then you can counter their, not counter. But give them
you can establish understandings by doing so, because honestly, and that's it. That is the essence of how I operate. is what I do is I want to learn about the person I'm talking to. I want to understand you. I want to see your point of view because that helps me better understand why you are where you are mentally about this situation. You know, if somebody tells you, oh, well, you know, life sucked growing up and all these fucking people kept doing this shit to me, it's like, okay, that gives me a perspective on it. Okay, now I know how to work with you. I see where you're coming from. Here's where I would offer a solution to moving forward out of wherever you're at. All that rage, all that venom that you want to spew forth because this political partner has your ideologies, it's not going to get you anywhere but pissed off all the time. And it's going to alienate the people who were willing to help you.
And that right there, getting people pissed off is... One moment, Jim. Let me just make this point. Getting people pissed off is what got Trump elected.
Yeah.
It's the same way...
It is the easiest emotion to
Hitler
enact in
got,
people.
Got put into office.
It's the easiest thing to get.
It is making people angry or fearful...
Oh, no.
That there are people out to take what they've worked for. Take their jobs, mm-hmm. their money, their guns,
fear
whatever
turns into anger really easily.
Yes.
And that is the easiest thing to manipulate people with.
And that is essentially the essence of dictatorship. And that's what mm-hmm. Trump is striving to be. And that's why I feel it is very important for people like us to pay very close attention to the things Trump says, as much as most of it is just rambling bullshit, there are key things he says that we need to be aware of, because if we ignore it,
right,
I feel it is essentially the same thing as supporting it. It's apathetic, and it's...
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to counter that point after Jim says his
yes,
point.
Jim, please.
I wanted to, first of all, say, if Samantha would allow us at all to get a word in edgewise, that'd be great.
Seriously, Sam. Fuck.
Fuck Samantha.
Right,
geez.
You know, I'm just taking, hogging it all.
You're like Kobe Bryant over here with the goddamn microphone. We're just like,
oh, I thought you were going to say helicopter, but okay.
Ooh. Yeah, it hogged all of the Kobe.
That was a horrible tragedy. I shouldn't make fun of it yet.
Yeah, you got at least another 3 or 4 months.
Yeah.
I just want to tell a quick story about that exact thing happening. And me, like, knowing better and yet still finding myself getting sucked in and falling for the trap. Now, Marconi, when I was working with him, and Christine, the three of us had the opportunity to have a phone interview with Shirley Phelps Roper of the Westboro Baptist Church.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Fucking great at parties, so I hear. And when...
Best brimstone stories.
I was like sitting there, and when I go, okay, so when I found out that people were going to interview her, my first reaction, or my first thought was, oh, I'm gonna cut this bitch up, like verbally. You know, I'm going to get her, like, wrapped up in her biblical bullshit, and I'm going to tap dance all over her ignorant fucking, you know, whatever. And, because, you know, I don't want to brag or nothing, but I was into speech and debate in high school, and a couple times went to nationals, didn't do nothing, but with nationals.
I went. I was on the bus.
I was there, too. It was great. We went to fucking West Palm Beach, Florida, and we went to Chicago, and that shit was dope as fuck.
Fair enough.
I was of the mindset that, you know, for all her like horrible, like of the worst, most abhorrent shit that you could do, you're picketing a fucking funeral for a veteran. Like, yep. there's no level of hell that they've built yet to contain that level of just shittiness. And like, I was finding myself getting filled with just like rage, and that was because you think about the shit that they're doing and the impact it's having on the people that are trying to grieve and everything else. And Marconi and Christine is right there with me, and the two of us are like fucking Dobermans, and we're slobbering. We cannot wait to get this. We were gonna tag team this bitch, like, oh, it would have been just the greatest handicap match fucking ever. And the thing was, Marconi stopped us and was just like, you don't understand. This is what she wants. If you do that, you are giving her exactly what she wants and exactly what keeps her relevant and in the limelight. You got to give her the rope. You're not going to be able to hang her, but you'll give her all the fucking rope she needs. That's what our job is. And I was like, holy shit, he was 100% right. Because we would get the interview started, and I would see myself getting riled up, like, no, pull it back. Because it was so absurd, like, it was just straight bait. Like, that's all she was throwing out, hoping someone was going to catch that she could, like, tap dance on a little bit. And Marconi was just, he knew how, it was like watching somebody handle, like, a poisonous snake with, like, very little effort because they've done it a lot and they kind of know how to do it. It was really impressive to see in action. Because the whole time I'm just like, oh, I would have done this. And I'm just like, no, because she would have just, yeah, that's exactly the mindset that she plays on and plays too. When you have that polarizing mindset and popularity, you know, you're kind of like a Howard Stern in that so many people fucking love you and follow every word that you see. Now, again, I'm not trying to put Stern in the same category as the Westboro Baptist in any stretch of the fucking imagination, just from the standpoint of when you have a personality that is so greatly loved and so greatly hated at a very high magnitude on both sides, that gives, like, the power that they would have had just solely on their popularity, like, this extra dimension.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when real change and real shit starts to happen, because it's no longer just you talking to your constituents. It's your constituents talking to other people, and they're fighting battles that you don't even know about. Like, during the height of Stern's popularity, people would be calling into radio interviews or like, you know, QVC just to throw a Baba Booey out there. Like, Stern wasn't telling people to do that shit. They just wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
So you had that sense of, you know, this person is so either loved or hated. You know, you got to know how to talk to them, know how to handle them, because their whole job is manipulation.
Right.
And if you play into it, then you're giving them that power.
You're feeding the troll.
Mm-hmm.
And here, if you don't mind me interjecting at this point there, Jim. So I hear what you're saying, James, as far as like it being important that we don't turn a blind eye to the stupid shit he does. Don't misunderstand. I don't. But what I've always understood was more important was battling the people, not the monster. Because one thing that I've come to understand is you look at all the old great peacekeepers throughout our history, people like Gandhi, who was able to hold off the British army without doing anything but starving and dying. The thing about it is they never tell people how to beat something bad without violence. We're always taught growing up from an early age, how do you slay the dragon? You charge in, you stab him right in the gut on the soft spot in his chest. You find his weakness and you exploit it. What I've come to understand is if you can army up an entire mass of people who stand behind you, it's less of a challenge to get rid of that dragon. Yeah, there'll be casualties, but you got to understand, if you can get the people on your side, you can beat anything. You could beat a horde of dragons, not just one.
And this is why I think it's important not to ignore him.
Oh,
because
I know.
You cannot fight. You cannot get the army if you don't have something for them to rally behind.
But here's the thing, and this is
and
the best part
about knowing
the
monster, right. Understanding the monster, I think helps you change.
But here's the thing:
minds.
We don't have to know much more about Trump. He's laid every one of his cards out on the table as to who he is, how he stands on things, how he doesn't think before he speaks, and how he knows
Trump
to channel the emotions and anger and rage and fear.
There.
Of the mass, you know, his body of constituents is still afraid and still angry at everything, and he's still speaking their language. You cannot beat anger with anger. You cannot beat rage with more passion. You have to beat it with logic. You have to beat it with understanding. You have to combat good with evil just as you would evil with good. There has to be that balance, because at this rate, when people get emotional about fucking Trump's doing all these stupid things, he's trying to ruin this country, his followers will fire right back without even thinking about what they're saying and just say, you're wrong. You're full of shit. You're a part of that fucking liberal nation that's just trying to fucking kill him. It's like, it becomes an impasse of passion. It's no longer a conversation, and nobody walks away learning anything. All they do is walk away angry, which, just like what Jim was saying, he feeds on that. And the more we piss off his constituency, the more we piss off his followers, the stronger his base becomes. So the more we argue and get passionate about how fucking stupid he is, the stronger that base becomes.
And I'm not disagreeing, and that's why I've said from the beginning. Right. I really feel like in order to change things, and we've said this on the show a billion times, the only way to change things is through education.
Mm-hmm.
But not just us educating them. We have to educate ourselves. And I think paying attention, as much as it drives me insane to listen to the verbal diarrhea that comes out of that man's mouth, it is important.
Oh, why?
To know what he says. So if you come into a situation where someone says, oh, Trump says this, you can go, yeah, but he also said this.
But in and of itself, that right there stopped any possibility of having a good conversation.
You can't see
that's what I mean, though.
You can't outright challenge them.
And that's the thing, though. You can't tell them they're even remotely inaccurate, because that is a validation
of being
wrong.
And again, it has to be, let them say their piece. Let them, you know, tell you why they believe this. So you can come at it and go, okay, I see where you're coming from, but there are also, you know, this, this, and this. There are other ways to look at this problem.
See, and again.
But you, again, it's all in
the listener take.
It's all in the delivery. And that's, for me, I think that's the hardest thing. And right now, there's too much of us and them. There's too much of, no, you're wrong. No, you're wrong. No, you're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
There's not enough of going, why?
Mm-hmm.
And there needs to be. And again, I'm guilty of it.
Well,
I'm fully fucking guilty
of it. And I've fallen prey to it myself.
But I've also suffered at the hands of, why do you feel this way?
Yeah.
I've lost a sister because of that.
True.
When I tried to go, let me understand so I know where you're coming from, so maybe I can, you know, and it didn't work.
Well, and in all fairness,
the reason I'm
fire on, buddy.
So fired up about this is because I see us as a society making the same mistakes that Germany made in the 30s, that so many other places have made and are currently making.
Oh, yeah.
I understand there's a lot of anger and has been for the last 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that there's a lot of fear. Mm-hmm. The problem I'm having is I don't know where the fear is coming from. Somewhere along the lines, people got fearful of shit going bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's really not. And I'll give you a prime example, because we're going through it now. We're all quarantined in our homes.
Mm-hmm.
We've never done this for any other strain of flu.
Nope.
We are overreacting.
Strain of flu.
Well, no, he's referencing that the only thing we've had in the past that even came close to a sizable pandemic was bird flu and things of that sort. So, yes, not a flu, but I'm picking up what you're putting
out there.
Thank you for piping up and being part of the show, Samantha.
It's not a flu.
It has flu-like symptoms.
Shut up, James.
Doesn't make it a flu.
We've never done this for any other virus.
Sickness. How about that? Sickness.
We've never done this before.
Hi.
And I know that Obama started a pandemic response team. But even before that, we've never done this before.
Nope.
Why are we doing it now? I'll tell you why.
Because it's actually a big fucking deal.
Because people in power, the people we and I'm using air quotes here, trust, are telling us to do it so we don't get sick.
Mm-hmm.
And what is the one thing every person on this planet is afraid of? Dying. Hmm. No one wants to die.
No, fuck no.
We're living in a time where, yes, this virus is bad.
Mm-hmm.
But let's look at the numbers. I mean, let's really look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Who are the people that are at worst threat of succumbing to this?
Children and elderly.
People with deficient immune systems.
Mm-hmm.
For most of the rest of us, if we get it, we're going to feel bad for a while.
Possibly.
Danny, you went through it.
True enough. In all fairness, I don't have enough validation to prove that it was what I thought it was, but yeah, I will say I went through something nasty, and I came out the other side. I don't know if that was what it was. But
I got a buddy I work with. We're 99.9% sure he had it in February. Was working with all of us in the building. No one got sick.
Again, there is ratio potentials, but at the same time,
I'm not saying that we shouldn't just ignore it and it'll go away, because it won't.
No.
It won't. I'm not saying that following some of the guidelines are not wise. I think you should wash your hands. I think if you think you're around someone that may be sick, or maybe you just don't want to get sick, then social distancing is okay.
Mm-hmm.
I think quarantining everyone to their house is a fucking mistake, and I think it's not helping the situation.
I would disagree.
I would disagree as well.
And the only reason I say that is, for me, when this all started to kick off really strong, and I started to see some of the smaller numbers pop up on this side of the ocean, my first thought was jumping back to all my research that I had done for the plague and for the other viruses that I followed. Because for once upon a time back in high school, I wanted to be a CDC worker because I loved biology. I loved it in every sense of the word. So I researched a lot of pandemics back in the day, and I was a big fan of zombies, and I figured I could try to figure it out. Didn't work.
Great at parties. Great at parties.
Well, I'm just saying, you know. The thing about it was, though, as soon as I started to see the numbers, it flashed two things in my head. First off is national response. So national response in this day and age basically means that if you have an illness on your borders, in your lands, you do business with the rest of the world. So it's in your best interest to try to isolate, control, and keep it under a tight-lipped situation for as long as humanly possible. And if it breaks out, you don't have a choice, but you're still not going to give the full numbers because then that makes you seem incompetent. Those are what we call the propaganda numbers. Every country who's going through this is going to give us those numbers because they don't want to seem like it's that big of a deal. You can still do business with us because we're not that sick. It's okay. And unfortunately, we're seeing America get the biggest slap in the ass because nobody thought it was a big fucking deal over here. And now we're starting to take first place in, you know, shown cases, and we're starting to catch up in death tolls. And it's like, I understand that.
Already have caught up and exceeded.
Oh, yeah. Okay, great. So it's one of those things where I saw this coming right out of the gate. And that's why as soon as they gave the stay-at-home order, I was like, I'm out. Fuck you guys. I'll take the hit. I'm sorry. I don't play with pandemics. I know what they can do, and I know what misinformation, and I know what being hot-headed about it is, like what Trump's doing and basically trying to tell people, it's not a thing, it's not a thing. Oh, fuck, it's a thing. I knew it was a thing all along. That kind of shit kills people. That kind of shit leads to mass pandemics. And unfortunately, this fucking ape has put us in a situation where we are going to see more deaths than anywhere else in the world because nobody took it seriously when it should have been understood that propaganda numbers are the first thing to come out in a pandemic for every country. And it concerns me because it's like I had my family telling me, oh, it's not a big deal. Don't worry about it. It's just the fucking flu. And it's like every time I heard that, I was like, guys, I understand that the news is trying to play this down because mass panic is not a smart thing to have either. You can't tell your people, well, we're all going to die. It's coming. Here it is. the rapture has come in the form of a virus, because that causes mass panic, mass hysteria. I mean, shit, they tried to bury the numbers, and in those first couple of weeks, look at what happened with toilet paper and fucking paper towels. Just that small little bit of information was enough to send people into almost a riotous frenzy. Except, over fucking bathroom toiletries. No.
I'm curious from...
That's actually false.
All I know is all my shelves were empty.
But the numbers had nothing to do with the hoarding of toilet paper.
Again, it was one of those things where once they were told that something was going on, people started getting into a frenzy. And
that was the smallest
information. If you'd have told them out the gate, this is a virus, it's taking the elderly and it's taking the children, and it's killing anybody who doesn't have a strong enough immune system, if they'd have told them that as opposed to what they did tell them, amplify what happened 100-fold easily, without question. Because we are scared. And we have lived in a time now, and actually this is something that Travis and I talked about. One of the things that I think a lot of people have member berries about, you know, like the 90s, for instance, the fear level was so much smaller. We had things to be worried about. We had gang violence and things like that. Yeah, sure. But the worst war we saw was the Gulf War. And that lasted, what, 6 months? Maybe a year at best? And it was over.
It's still going on.
But it was one of those things where the fear levels that we had in the 90s were so minimal. There were no great viruses. Our presidents and our elected officials were doing their job.
But look at the difference between the 90s and now.
Exactly. We got a chief fucking retard who's always plastered across social media, TV, news.
There it is, right there.
Exactly.
There's the difference. Social media.
And that's what I'm trying to get to. That's the point I'm trying to make.
Well, why didn't you just get to it?
Because you wouldn't have heard it. My point is at this point, we have an overexposure to things that can terrify us. We have access to every bit of the dirty, nasty, horrendous shit that goes on in our world. It's on us to filter that information. Because if we don't, it will terrify you. And it's easy to get terrified because you have sources that don't give it to you straight. And then you got sources who try to give it to you straight. But they only have half the story. So you make up your own mind as to what you hear. In this day and age, that's why for me, I don't know if you guys noticed, but I'm very, very light on my posting. That's because I'll go through and I'll look at what other people are saying. I'll gain some information because 90% of the people I follow are like you, Samantha, Big Jim, Travis. I trust your guys' opinion. I value your opinion. So when you post something, I'm usually on it. Most of the time, it's funny. By the way, Jim, damn, you were sexy back in the day.
But when I had a chin, oh, those were the days.
Damn right, buddy. A lot of loving. But, you know, that's the thing. It's like, for me, the information that I voluntarily take upon myself is enough to stay relevant, is enough to understand where things are, but not enough to where I overindulge. Now, I feel bad for, like, you and Travis, for instance, because you work in media. Your job is to know what's going on in every square of the media. And it sucks. And I feel for you guys because you don't have an opportunity to just say, you know what, today I'm not going to turn on the news. I don't need to know what's going on because honestly, unless shit's blowing up right now, today is just not a day for it. Meh, tomorrow I'll turn it on, and if it's really important, it'll be on tomorrow's news too. You know, you guys don't have that option. Me, I do. And that's why I take that stance. It's like, I know enough of what's going on because of the people that I value. If it's something important, you guys talk about it. If it's just another verbal diarrhea from the fucking chimp in the house, it rattles off. And it's just another notch in the belt of stupid shit he said. And at that point, you know, the jar is awful full, and at this point, pieces are falling on the ground, so nobody cares. What's important is that we let people know that even if we have difference of opinion, even if we feel differently about it, we can have a good conversation so long as we're willing to accept the possibility that we could be misguided. Not wrong, but just on the wrong trail. And secondly, if we don't overindulge in Titanic news. We'll all be the better for it. Again, my lack of news exposure that I have, I knew COVID was coming. It was everywhere. And it was unavoidable. And this was back when there was only like two confirmed cases up in Washington. And they were talking about it on the radio about some guy on a cruise line getting across the border and everyone was threatening his life because they were like, you're going to fucking kill us. I hear this shit. You can't avoid
it. Here's the thing, though. By the time it got reported...
Oh, it was already 10 times worse.
No. By the time it got reported, it had already been here.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, people had been having... People have been having it, and because they didn't know what it was, they were treating it like a flu.
Mm-hmm. Welcome to the propaganda numbers, buddy. And at that rate, that's why as soon as they pulled that stay-home order for the self-quarantine, it was like, I'm in.
Yeah,
fuck
but by then
noise.
It was too late. And by again, then, most of the coast, because it's... And I talked to someone about this recently. It's, if you really look at it, it's mostly been on the two coasts. It hasn't really gotten to Middle America yet. There hasn't been a lot of it in Middle
there
America.
There have been verified cases, but there, you're right, not very many.
I'm not saying there haven't been. I'm
saying there's lots of cases coming up from the south, up through Texas, Louisiana, Florida.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot coming up the center. Like, right above and below me is riddled. People are fleeing Michigan because they got hit so hard.
Yeah.
They were one of the highest death rates in a day just last week.
And that's the scary part about it. Is, well, I know that it was already here, and I know the numbers we were getting were not accurate by any stretch of the imagination. Now, if I already caught it, that's great, but we also don't know that by catching it makes me any kind of immune.
No, because we do know that it's
yeah,
already...
Yeah, they say you could be immune anywhere between, like, 6 minutes to 6 hours. They don't know.
Yep. So, honestly, for me, the quarantine at home makes the most sense in the whole fucking world. I wish it was being enforced a little stronger. Because at this
me
rate,
too.
We still have people like, it's no big deal. It's okay. We'll just stay open for business, you know? It's nothing. This is horseshit. Those numbers ain't accurate. Who cares? Yeah, they're not accurate because they're probably a lot bigger. A lot bigger. And if they gave you the real numbers, people freak the fuck out over that.
And that's also a reason Trump isn't testing or pushing testing, because the numbers will get bigger.
They will skyrocket.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though, and here's the... I don't give a shit about the numbers.
Right.
What I care about is people's peace of mind. And I think they should be pushing tests. I think...
I honestly think
that you should be able to go to the doctor's office or wherever and get a test so you know. And I think that if you're...
Yep.
If you don't have it, you should be allowed to work. You should be allowed to go out of the house. I think...
Well, but
where
anyway,
was it? I just saw...
That's still dangerous, though.
Yeah, that's still
really dangerous.
Just because you don't have it doesn't mean you can't get it. And doesn't mean that just because you got tested, you won't get it tomorrow. And then
make it a weekly test.
Other reason why they won't...
asymptomatic and still spread it.
And that's the thing. You got... I think they were up to an understanding of 6 to 14 days.
But if you're asymptomatic and you test for it, won't they find it? Even if you're not showing...
But then say you catch it afterwards.
Again, it's one of those things where...
You could spread it for weeks.
With viral pandemics like this, having people out and about is hazardous in and of itself. Because at this rate, no matter how healthy you are or were when you got your test, some asshole who thought he couldn't afford it because his healthcare doesn't cover office visits, or just doesn't understand that it should be free anyway, or maybe they make it free but they don't know because they don't pay attention, they stay out, they have it, they're spreading it to multitudes of people who are like, fuck, I just got tested, I'm good, I'm clean. And they're all out and about, and guess what? Now you all got it. And
that's already going on.
The only reason for the stay-at-home order, the only reason things are as intense as they are, is because of the shitty response.
Yep.
That is why. It never, ever had to be this hard. It never had to be this. It's because of Trump being an idiot. He's looking for shortcuts. He's looking for a way out of this. He's leaving decisions up to the states because he won't make them, because he wants to be the one to open everything. He wants to be the savior. He's a selfish prick who just wants the money. And he's making money off of fake drugs that will kill people. So he's effectively a murderer, and I fully believe that any person who did not do a stay-at-home order past a certain date should be tried for murder. But, we're talking about having mass graves. In 2020, New York, if you don't claim you're dead in, two or three days, they go into a mass grave.
Yep.
I think it's less than
never,
that.
It's less than that.
This Fire never, on, ever had to happen, ever. So it was a shitty response time. We knew this was coming since Obama's last days in office. He handed Trump everything and said, there's a thing that's happening. We're concerned about it. We have a pandemic response team. Read up on this. This could become an issue. We could have been stockpiling. We could have been doing a lot for the last 3.5 years, but we did nothing because Trump is a narcissistic psychopath. That is why we're in this situation, and I fully support the stay-at-home order. And Mike DeWine, even though I don't agree with him on 98% of everything, has done a fantastic job for Ohio, and I'm very proud of him. So,
you know, after all this time,
throw my 2 cents why I support the stay-at-home order.
Please,
fire on.
It is a complete non sequitur, but I fully support the stay-at-home order because, as I said this before, it'll give us a chance to kind of help reset our personal clocks a little bit and slow down and really kind of start prioritizing things a little bit better with our lives and really kind of learn to cut some of the fat that's been just kind of weighing us down when it comes to just the dumb shit that kind of gets in the way of our day-to-day basis. And that will help free us up, yeah. And I think that also getting rediscovering, you know, parts of us that, you know, have kind of been shelved a little bit due to the hustle and bustle of everyday life. Things that we forgot that we used to really enjoy. And, you know, it could be something as simple as like watching, your favorite series of movies, which I happen to have done. and so Friday the 13th, part 7, The New Blood, in my opinion, is the definitive installment of the Friday the 13th franchise. Let me explain to you why. In the 17th so the film starts, right? We've got Tina.
That was a U-turn you just didn't see coming. Big Jim just took this conversion.
We took an access road.
I'm pretty sure we jumped out the driver's seat and left the car roll off a cliff. Just and started walking all the other direction.
Okay, first of all, Jim, you're wrong. Friday the 13th Part 4 is the definitive episode.
So wrong.
And
so wrong.
And B, Samantha, after all this time, I wish for once you would just open up and tell us how you feel about something.
You know, be honest for a change, Sam. Quit sugarcoating it.
You're among friends.
This is a safe space.
We're not going to judge you.
Fucking calm, you know, and just bring it out. Let it go.
You know, I am all about effective communication, but to me, there comes a point when you can't handhold anymore, and you just got to tell people about themselves.
Right, right. Yeah.
So, Tina kills her dad. Now, this is important because
pivotal moments
her
here.
Father is the only person killed in Crystal Lake, not by Jason's hand. Now, I know what you're going to say. Well, hey, Jim. What about Pamela Voorhees' mom?
That's exactly what I was going to say.
I'd say to that, you could take those 2 cents, put them back in your pocket, and save them.
Wait.
Because Pamela was not killed in Crystal Lake. She was killed on the shoreline. She was not in the lake. Jason drowned, and Tina killed her father. He's the only one that wasn't killed by Jason in the lake specifically.
Pretty sure there was a lot of deaths on the shore, if I'm not mistaken. Like the sleeping bag death.
By anyone other than Jason?
God, I don't remember this movie at all.
Dun, 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 dun. That's what I was just saying. It's like, wait a minute, Jim. I'm seeing some holes in your story here, you know, I understand your opinion about this, and I realize you feel strongly about it, but go fuck yourself. You're wrong.
You're still wrong. Friday 13th Part 4 is the definitive. It's the only one that had a started a three movie arc.
Whatever,
with the
dude.
Same
Jason
character.
X. That's all I gotta say.
Oh, you're, you can use the door.
He just wanted his machete back.
Listen up, fuck nuts. I let you guys run and run and run for 45 goddamn minutes.
You and we love you for
me
it.
A moment here.
Well, unfortunately, we've run out of time.
We're all out of time.
We've
got to
thank
so
our
much,
Patreon
you know.
Subscriber, Drew.
Woo!
Thank you, Drew,
you
for being a part
bastard,
of this.
You.
I swear to the Father, Son, and Holy G, I will find you. I will fuck you to death, my friend.
As soon as he gets the money for a plane ticket.
Yep.
I'll be concerned.
Yeah, well, I, have one.
I won't
have
be
one.
Concerned. I'll be kind of looking forward to it because that means he has to come here, you know. Just saying.
Yeah, no, it won't be for funds. It won't be for funsies. We will not.
You don't know how I roll, Jim. You don't know
brutal.
Me, buddy.
It'll be brutal. It'll be quick, and it'll be deserved.
A little bit of hate fucking. I like it.
Oh, that's just the way I like it.
This will not be quick. You will not enjoy this.
Don't tell me how to live my life.
God damn it! Let me get this out. So.
Tina
first of all,
up.
Tina and her fucking parents are vacationing at Camp Crystal fucking Lake. Right? This isn't a parallel universe where Jason doesn't exist. You're in his back fucking yard. And it's like, well, we could go to the Poconos or we could go to Certain Fucking Doom. Where are we going? Oh, we're going to go to Crystal Lake.
Well, Certain Doom, you know? Of course. Duh.
Yeah. So Tina kills her dad, yada, yada, whatever. So Tina's, like, therapist, years later, she's dealt with this guilt of accidentally drowning her dad for fucking, you know, a decade and a half or whatever. And so her therapist is like, I know what we'll do. We'll go to the spot where the trauma happened and maybe that'll trigger something. Like, shitty 80s psychotherapy.
Yeah, because that's... I mean, obviously, that was my first thought of psycho, you know, fixing.
Yeah, it's like, oh, you were fine until someone bonked you on the head, and then your attitude
good.
Changed.
Yeah.
Hit him again.
Yeah, totally.
Keep hitting him until he comes back. That
right?
doesn't work like that. So this piece of shit, and it's like it's played by the actor from the 80s that it just was perpetually a shitty guy. He was never a good dude.
That
he
guy.
Was this character actor. I can't remember his fucking name, but he just looked at me like he's a fucking weasel. He's probably a lord, right? You put his mom in a shitty, like, retirement home and he
can't
just, like,
really
takes your Social Security
anyway.
Money.
Not really.
Or whatever.
Totally, buddy.
And so anyway, right, he is, like, fucking with Tina's head to try to elicit all this shit to come out. And so Tina realizes that she
Jim,
now
you're,
has
you're,
a team.
You're talking about this stuff, but you're missing a key point of what the therapist is trying to do. He's trying to get her telekinesis to work. He's trying to exploit her power of telekinesis.
But he's lying to her under the guise that he's treating her for the guilt that she has over her father.
Well, clearly.
That's fucked up.
Well, obviously.
Seriously. And so he's trying to trigger this shit and yada. And he ends up using the mom, who's voiced by RC from the Transformers movie. She has a very distinct voice. And, like, the voice that she used for RC in the movie, like the pink, was it like a helicopter or was it, what was it?
It was a car.
It was a car. RC, yeah. So RC, like, her voice for that character is her voice in real life. So when you hear her, like, the first time at the very beginning before Tina killed her dad, I'm thinking, like, oh, shit, Transformers? Like, Jason versus Transformers? This movie's fucking awesome.
Would
right?
be.
It turns out that, you know, unfortunately, it was just her voice, not the actual character, sadly. That would have made it the perfect movie ever.
Well, obviously.
But, you know, Tina, when she finds out she's got these, like, crazy mind powers... And she goes up against Jason because for the first time ever in all the other installments, there's finally somebody that can go toe-to-toe with Jason. The cover of the movie, the sleeve from the VHS is what I remember. It was the mask cut in half. Half of it was Jason's mask, and the other half was Tina's face. And it was like, dude, she was using her mind power. She fucked Jason up one side and down the other. It was beautiful.
Pretty sure Freddy gave him a good solid run for his
Jim,
money.
Tommy Jarvis defeated Jason twice. And a copycat.
First of fuck of all, he got lucky. He got bitch-ass lucky a couple times.
Bitch-ass right? lucky.
He beat him as a kid. He hacked him into hamburger meat.
And was second of all, the Jason from 5, we already know, wasn't really Jason. It was the fucking cop.
That like was I said, he defeated Jason twice and a copycat.
It's a bitch.
You know what, Jim? That this whole
beat
conversation
him with his own machete.
This whole conversation is a perfect wrap up for me. In these times, don't forget to fucking laugh, people. Like you
enjoy
usually say, James, if you ain't laughing, you're crying. So yep. Do a lot less crying these days, folks. Do a little more laughing, you'll be better for it. And thank you, Big Jim,
and do
for voicing
a favor
your
and watch
movie.
Friday the 13th Part 7.
And tell Jim yes. How wrong he is.
Yeah. Because the thing is, I'm not wrong, okay? So the part where Jason is like in the house and he's gonna squish the boyfriend, who normally in a horror movie, what happens? The boyfriend comes to rescue, saves the day, whatever. Jason's got him underfoot. He's gonna squish him like a Capri Sun. Right? And then Tina uses her mind powers and she makes the straps on his mask contract to the point where his skull cracks open.
Oh, I remember
and oozes
that.
Shit. And then you see his face for the first time. Dude, that was groundbreaking.
Again!
Shit right there.
God, you're so wrong! You saw Jason's face in 3! You saw it in 4! You saw it in 5! God, you are so wrong! Wrong. You're just
James,
wrong.
James,
that's the title
that
of the episode.
Not effective communication.
Thank you, Sam.
My facts, but I am not wrong with my message in that number 7. Clearly, she beat his ass and didn't even have to touch him. She whipped his ass from across a room. It was remarkable. She turned a gas can into a super soaker and drenched his bitch ass and then set him on fire after she strangled him for 5 minutes. Didn't even break a nail. That's fucking, that's gangster right there.
Again, I'm still saying that Krueger put a molly stomping on his nuts pretty good, too.
Yeah, but
so,
Krueger
you know.
Didn't win, so.
But he's,
didn't
he's
though?
A dead
no.
eye.
Because
like,
although he was ahead
guy.
At the end, he was still very much alive, and it looked kind of happy to be there.
Yeah, but Jason still had all his limbs attached and walked out of that lake, so.
Eh.
If you but can Tina walk, you won.
Yeah, Tina was an adolescent girl who was trying to come to grips with a severe trauma of her father passing away because she dropped a fucking doc on his head. And so she resurrects her dad at the end to kill Jay. Spoilers, by the way, for anybody who hadn't seen.
Fuck you, Jim. God damn it. I was looking forward to watching that movie. Why you gotta ruin it, dude?
I was gonna watch it tonight, but I guess there's
no
point.
Yeah, no fucking point now. Thanks a lot, Big Jim. Fucking jerk.
And the thing is, and this is the reason why. This is
any
the
other fucking
why.
Movies you want to spoil?
No shit. Why don't you just go ahead and spoil Black Widow while we're at it, bud?
You know what? Why don't you spoil Nightbreed?
Yeah, totally.
Why don't you spoil
oh,
that?
Dude.
How about
yeah.
spoil the Hellraiser movies?
Dude. Spoil number 2. I fucking dare you, bro. Fight me.
The reason why Tina is better than Tommy Jarvis in Orange is because of the simple fact that at the beginning of the movie, she accidentally resurrects Jason just to turn around and kill him at the end of the movie. So she whipped his ass after she brought his ass back just to kick his ass. That's it. You can't beat that. I'm sorry.
Tommy Jarvis did the same thing in 6.
Samson's did it.
The fucking the lightning bolt it and the fucking whatever. He's still a bitch. Tommy Jarvis is a bitch. I'm going on record.
Who would win in a fight? Jason or Rawhead Rex?
I'm not familiar with Rawhead Rex. I'm
sorry.
Well,
you should be.
Ooh.
Is that Lynch?
Ooh. Wow, calling out Jim.
Yeah, no shit, right?
No, that one's a deep cut. Not a lot of people have seen it. I don't blame you. It's a cheesy-ass 80s big monster movie, and
yeah.
It's one of my all-time favorites.
What is the name?
Rawhead Rex.
Hey, Samantha, I gotta tell you, I just watched Teeth again for the first time since we did the commentary.
It's on HBO.
Outstanding.
I pass by and I'm always like, I should watch that.
I'm gonna go home and watch that
it's
tonight.
It's just as awful as you remember and yet so glorious.
Oh, it is so, when she spread their legs and drops, oh my god.
Yeah, and then the dog eats it.
Like, that part haunts me.
So hot.
See, Jim, now you know how I roll, buddy.
The best part is the dog eats it. It's just like crazy.
Yes. Oh, we laughed so hard. Oh, so bad.
You guys need therapy. Like, seriously. Like,
okay. Once again, if you want to support us on Patreon, please go to Not Another Patreon.
Be more like Drew.
Be more like Drew.
You too can get your name attached to this shit. Or if you go to level 4, we could just ignore the fact that you.
I'll tell you what. Yeah, you go level 4, we will keep your name away from it. Like, you won't even be associated whatsoever, and
we will redact it from our records.
Yep, we will get the giant black marker out just for you to make sure nobody knows that you actively listen to this show.
We will also send out Bryce to take out any witnesses who may or may not have heard you listening to this show.
Obviously.
So,
or maybe you just want somebody taken out of your life. I mean,
that's
a problem.
That's tier 5, and that's really expensive.
Yeah, that's pushing, like, you know, 7 figures. To start.
But we'll do
per
it.
Per month. Yeah. No, and you have to sign in for a year-long contract, but I mean, you know. Yeah. We'll do it.
We are absolutely not trained assassins, so.
But Bryce is.
You get what you pay for. Just keep that in mind.
We've all played some form of first-person shooter. I think we all got what it takes. Except Sam.
That would be kind of a fun.
That's how the military recruits.
Right? That would be kind of a funny idea for, like, a script where it's, like, a podcast that has a Patreon, and they're just like, if you subscribe to level, like, 20, which is, like, you know, some like 20 grand for the year.
We call it a problem solver for tier.
You know, and so, like, some anonymous donor, like, supports them at that level, and then they just get, like, a name and, like, an address and a date.
What are we supposed to do with this?
Are we going to do a show, you know, there? Like, is that what we're doing?
No, guys, I think he wants us to kill someone.
And they're just like, send it back. We can't. It's like Bitcoin, or I don't know how Bitcoin works, but something complex that people don't get, like me.
I'd be like, man, we really got screwed. Like, we should have asked for a lot more money.
They got a deal. You know? We only charged $10. What the fuck?
God damn it. All right, who set up the tiers? Bryce. I'm looking at you.
So the podcasters look up this name and they find out it's like this really scummy piece of shit, right?
And I see how you feel.
You know, you would kind of think, you know, if they kind of disappeared, it wouldn't be the worst thing for humanity to do. And so there's that inner, like, turmoil of, like, should we or shouldn't we? You know, and like,
no,
all
we totally
this
should.
Nice
we got paid for it.
Starts showing up at their house, like brand new recording equipment and, like, you know, soundproofing and shit.
You know what? This would be really funny as a comedy, because I'm kind of thinking of it in the vein of Game Night when they accidentally are really
See, I'm thinking we need to turn this into
real.
I'm thinking we need to do this in the style of, like, a Disney musical. You know, I'm just saying, Murder the Musical.
Okay, from now on, Danny's not allowed in the writer's room.
Wait, this is the writer's room?
Dude, every episode.
Too.
There are no bad ideas. Too many ideas. There's no bad ideas, Danny. There's no bad ideas.
Thank
but
you,
that wasn't
Jim.
An idea.
So there's a reason that you're going to be the only person who survives my Holocaust.
Thank you. See? Cool, James. That's two, baby.
Yeah,
that's
buddy.
That's the compound, and then that's the Danny contingency. That if that happens, I'm covered on two flanks.
You're in good shape, buddy. You're in good shape.
Actually, just one flank, because that's not how flanks work. I mean, I would have my own flank on the other flank. Danny would have that other flank. He'd be covering my sixth flank or whatever. Samantha's just rolling her fucking eyes so hard right now. She's like,
and so is James.
How are you talking to that, man? Because even in the Holocaust, or the apocalypse, I should say, even in the apocalypse, there will be a need for slap dicks like myself. And so all I'm trying to do is put some seeds out there into the brains of potential cult leaders.
By being a slap dick there, buddy? You put a lot of seeds out with your slap dick?
Jim, I don't know why you're bothering, because we are all going to be servants of Menstrata. So,
yeah, you fucking guys.
Yeah, but there's a different. There's a servant and then there's a servant, am I right? I mean, come on.
I will be serving.
No, there is a servant and then there's a serving dish.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, I mean, it's an honor to be nominated, really.
I, for one, I'm hoping to be a servant. That's all.
There's
not
two
a serving.
Types of people in this world. There's the people that carry the food, and, well, you kind of figure out what the other people are. They don't realize it until they're not people anymore, but, you know, you put two and two together and you get delicious.
So by all means, folks, go to our Patreon and pay for this.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Not Another Podcast. There are so many places for you to find us outside of www.notanotherpodcast.com. For instance, you can find us on Facebook at Not Another Podcast. You can also find us on Tumblr at www.notanotherpodcast.tumblr.com. You can also find me, Samantha Stark, on Twitter at SamanthaStark3. And you can find James on Twitter as well under James Spooky, spelled with an I-E, not A-Y. And you wanted it, you asked for it, you got it. You can also find us now on iTunes under, you guessed it, Not Another Podcast. We'll talk to you soon. Peace out, Not Another Podcasters.